It was supposed to be the Summer of Punk. And tonight was supposed to be the biggest match in AEW history. A championship unification match between two of the biggest stars in the entire company, CM Punk going one-on-one with Jon Moxley for the very first time in an AEW ring. Punk's first match since Double or Nothing when he won the championship from Hangman Page singles match. Of course, we know Punk had a match on Dynamite a few days later and shattered his foot before he even got into the ring. But the last time we saw Punk one-on-one, he was on top of the world. He had beaten Hangman. And he won the world championship. He was riding high, right? Summer of Punk. Tony Khan couldn't even wait to get to Chicago. He put this match on early. He booked this match for live television tonight, trying to pop a big number. Going to be very interesting to see what the ratings are when they come in tomorrow. Because you know that Tony Khan was thinking about that when he put that match on television. CM Punk, Jon Moxley, surely they could do over a million viewers. They're going to be looking real bad if they can't even break a million for the biggest possible match that they can do. But that's for tomorrow. That's for tomorrow. But you know, when he made the announcement last week, I said, I wonder why. CM Punk and Jon Moxley was made official for All Out. All of a sudden, in a random announcement towards the end of the show last week, they kind of threw it out there. Oh, by the way, these guys can't wait. CM Punk and Jon Moxley one-on-one in Cleveland next week on Dynamite. What? Just like that. Boom. And we have our championship match tonight. And I thought to myself, there has to be a reason. Surely Tony Khan has to have a very good reason why he would be doing this, why he would be giving this match away on television. And when the match was over tonight, I realized why. I realized exactly why. Because had Tony Khan gone in there at All Out in the main event on pay-per-view in Chicago and did the kind of finish that he did tonight, the people would tear that building down. The people in the building that night would riot if they gave them the same finish that they gave the people here tonight on Dynamite. No way you could have done that finish on pay-per-view. Jon Moxley squashed CM Punk like a bug. Squashed CM Punk in 3 minutes. Not even the main event. Not even the main event of the show. Squashed him in 3 minutes to become the undisputed AEW World Heavyweight Champion. No more of this interim bullshit. Now it's migrated over to the women. We'll talk about that. We're not done with the whole interim stuff yet. Jon Moxley is now officially the AEW champion, and this just poses a whole host of new questions about what the hell is going on here. I don't know where this is going. I can't say for sure. I have my theories. I have my ideas. We're going to talk about that. I'm sure you guys are going to chime in. I'll hear from you what you think. Nobody knows for sure exactly where this is going. What I do know is that we are less than 2 weeks away from one of the biggest pay-per-views that AEW has all year, and we have no main event. All Out is next weekend in Chicago, and we have no main event. But we do have one more week of Dynamite left. A lot can happen in a week. Where is this going? Is CM Punk still legitimately injured? Is he still not 100%? Did Tony Khan have no choice but to book this match early, knowing that Punk could not go in a full 15, 20, 25-minute match? So let's just shock people. Let's try to pop a number. We'll get some numbers on television. We'll shock people. We'll get people talking. And at least we'll get something out of this, because this man is still hurt. He thought he could come back. He's not ready. We got to get the belt off him. So let's just do it like this. Maybe the injury is legitimate. Not that the angle they did in the match tonight where Punk was favoring his foot, not that that wasn't an angle, but the idea that CM Punk is not yet ready to go in there and have a long pay-per-view quality main event is a very real possibility. So we have to entertain that as one potential idea. Or, on the flip side, we had a lot of controversy coming out of that show last week. We had a lot of controversy coming out of that show with the promo where he went into business for himself on Hangman Page, which had absolutely nothing to do with the angle that is currently ongoing with Jon Moxley. He just kind of threw it out there and made Hangman look like a bitch. Was this punishment for CM Punk? Was this Tony Khan saying, you know what, for a guy who went into business for himself, and for whatever may or may not be going on behind the scenes, if there is any kind of controversy, if there is any kind of heat, if CM Punk is upset about certain things and he's not sure exactly what might happen with this guy, if this guy is, I mean, this guy is a live wire and there's no telling what might happen, I've got to get my world championship off this guy. We cannot keep the title on him. We need to work through these issues. And until we're able to do that, the safer bet would be to get this belt off of him. Is that what we saw tonight? If I had to rank the different possibilities of what we saw, that would be low on my list. I don't think that's what it was. I don't think this was any kind of a punishment. I don't think this had anything to do with that. That's just my gut. I just don't think that that's what we saw here tonight. Or, and hear me out here, or is this part of an angle that will ultimately turn CM Punk CM Punk threw a kick in that championship match tonight, and he acted as if he broke his foot. It was the surgically repaired foot, and he clutched it, and he screamed. The referee called for the doctor to come in, and Jon Moxley said, I don't think so. I'm here to fight. He beat the hell out of Punk. He put him down with two Death Riders, and he pinned him. And when Punk was being helped to the back, Jon Moxley is off in the crowd celebrating his championship win. The camera cuts back to Punk, and Punk stops, and he turns around, and he glances back at the man who just beat him. It was the perfect shot. And in that one moment, if I wasn't already convinced last week that this was the beginning of a CM Punk heel turn, now I'm convinced that we are going to get a CM Punk heel turn. That is what I think is going on here. I cannot sit here and explain to you why we needed to have a 3-minute match on TV instead of just shooting the angle in Chicago and giving us a quality pay-per-view main event. That's why I'm leaving open the very real possibility that Punk is not yet ready to have a long championship match. I think there may be some truth to that. But I think what we saw there with that little glance back over his shoulder at Jon Moxley, which was filmed for a very particular reason. That shot was not accidental. We are seeing the beginnings of a CM Punk heel turn. A CM Punk who came into the building tonight. Now, I understand they were in Ohio. Moxley is from Ohio. I get that. He was going to get the hometown reaction. But this is a CM Punk who was noticeably booed when they did the ring introductions for that championship. There are already people who are disenchanted with CM Punk. There are already, the boo birds are already coming out for this man. I think that this is the beginning of a CM Punk heel turn that will ultimately lead to the return of MJF. And that is what I think is going on here. Now, so much to unpack here. Let's stick on the MJF thing for a second. Actually, you know what? Before I even talk about the MJF, I mentioned before that we are less than 2 weeks away from the pay-per-view. And we have no main event. We had no championship match in the main event. Now, if CM Punk is not 100% ready, and he is not going to be in the main event at All Out, which I am still having a difficult time believing that they are going into Chicago and not going to have CM Punk in that main event. But let's assume for a second that he is not going to be in the main event. There are no other obvious challengers for Jon Moxley at this moment. But I throw one name at you, and it's not MJF, because that would make absolutely no sense. I do think at the end of all this, we're going to see MJF come back. Throwing MJF into a championship match would make absolutely no sense, given the way that he left and the last time we saw him on TV. So we can forget about that. But there is one thing I wanted to throw out there. It's very interesting. You know, they ran down the card for All Out, which is really filling out now. A lot of matches now signed for All Out. They announced the match on television a few weeks ago that they have not made a single mention of ever since. There was no mention of it tonight at all. And it leaves me wondering if the match is still on or not, or if there was a change in plans. A few weeks ago, they made, it was the first match made official for the pay-per-view. Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara. Now, Sammy Guevara is going to be, I think, on Rampage this week, but there's been no Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston has been missing, and there's been no mention of the match. So I'm not even sure if Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara is still official for the pay-per-view, unless there was a change made for a very specific reason. If Punk can't go, are they leaving that open now to potentially do Jon Moxley against Eddie Kingston for the AEW World Championship in the main event at All Out? And that's just me speculating because they haven't said anything about Eddie and Sammy. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe on Rampage this week because Sammy's going to be on the show. Maybe Eddie Kingston will make an appearance. Maybe Eddie Kingston, as we speak at the Rampage tapings, is out there making an appearance. I just throw that out there because, again, it's very odd that they announced that match and there's been nothing said about it in the last couple of weeks since then, including tonight when they ran down the entire card. It's almost like the match doesn't exist. Maybe they're leaving that spot open for Eddie. Obviously, Mox is his boy. I don't think too many people, frankly, would complain if they wanted to put Eddie Kingston in the main event against Jon Moxley. I think that would be a hell of a match. But I just throw that out there for some food for thought for anybody who may not know exactly what they're going to do in the main event of the pay-per-view. Obviously, the match tonight was a disappointment. It goes without saying. For what was supposed to be the biggest match in AEW history, you have a double championship match. Champion against champion. Title for title. Granted, it was only on a one-week build, which is ridiculous. But you're building up this big championship match, and you throw it out there on 1 week's notice. And to do what they did tonight, it was going to leave a sour taste in people's mouths. There's no way around it. Now, I believe it's setting up something bigger. But it was a major disappointment. If you look at it in a vacuum, on its own, obviously, this was a very disappointing match. It was a very disappointing thing that they did, even if it is building to something bigger. Maybe it is. Maybe in a week it'll be clear what that is. Maybe at All Out they'll do some sort of amazing angle to make sense of all of this. And we'll look back and go, that's the method to the madness. Now it all makes sense. But I'm sitting here expecting a championship match at the 9 o'clock hour between CM Punk and Jon Moxley. And I basically get Goldberg against Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series in 2016. And that served a purpose too. Shock the world. Nobody was expecting Goldberg to go in there and squash Brock, the man who ended the Undertaker streak, and squash him in less than 90 seconds the way that he did. But I remember talking about the pay-per-view that night and thinking, what the fuck did I just see? And that was in the main event on a pay-per-view. That was not in the middle of a television show on free TV. But that's basically what Tony Khan gave us tonight. This was his version of Goldberg and Brock from Survivor Series in 2016. I mean, hell, you could look back and you could talk about Brock Lesnar and John Cena from SummerSlam back in 2014, which was a squash. John Cena got squashed in the main event of SummerSlam, although I enjoyed seeing that. That actually put a smile on my face. But yes, obviously, I was left disappointed. When this segment was over, I was expecting more. I was hoping for more. I thought there would be some kind of a big angle that would be shot, whether it was MJF coming out or it was something else, and then we would at least have a sense of what the all-out main event would be. We don't. But there is one more week of Dynamite left to find out exactly what they're going to do. As deflating as that was, and underwhelming as that segment was, the main event more than made up for it. They went with the Trios Championship main event of Will Ospreay and Aussie Open against Death Triangle. That was our main event on tonight's show. Will Ospreay has had himself one hell of a week. Losing to Okada in the G1 finals in a fantastic match. And then here tonight, going out there and tearing the house down with Pac and tearing the house down with Rey Fénix and going in there and winning. And setting up a huge match now for TV next week, where Ospreay is going to be coming back, and he's going to be sharing a ring for the first time, one-on-one, We'll see if they end up in the ring one-on-one or if they avoid each other. But they're going to be on opposing sides next week with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. That was a very fun main event tonight. And actually, there were quite a few things on the show tonight that I enjoyed. There were other things that I did not enjoy. I thought it was a mixed bag tonight on the show. And I'm actually very curious to check the Twitter poll later on. I have not looked at it since I posted it. We will check that out later on. Very curious to see what the Twitter poll says about this show tonight. But all of this is happening at a time when it feels like, in some ways, the wheels are starting to come off the wagon with AEW, at least behind the scenes. And a lot of the stories that we're hearing, and maybe some of the stories are true, maybe some of the stories are not true. Tony Schiavone, I know on I think it was his podcast, went off and said all the bullshit on the internet, things are not as bad as it makes it out to be, and we're making positive changes in terms of talent relations and things of that nature. But you hear all these stories about discontent and people who are frustrated, and obviously the CM Punk stuff from last week. And whether Tony Khan and CM Punk are working the boys or whatever is going on here, there are people behind the scenes in that company who saw and heard what happened last week and are not happy with CM Punk and are not fans of CM Punk and do have very real issues with certain things that are going on right now in AEW. So at a time when all of this is going on, Tony Khan went and he held a talent meeting behind the scenes, backstage earlier this afternoon, before Dynamite. All hands on deck. Mandatory talent meeting. Per PW Insider, Khan was very animated and impassioned. I mean, when is he not animated? I would be surprised if Tony Khan was not animated. But he was discussing some of the measures recently implemented, namely the expansion of the company's talent relations and development, and how they are in place to make things better for the talents. He also made it clear that AEW was in an industry that has long been dominated by WWE. Work WWE into everything here. And that he had put everything into it to make things better for the talents. Fightful reported that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks were said to have made it very clear that their doors were always open. Chris Jericho and Tony Schiavone also spoke at the meeting. Tony Khan also stated that right before the meeting began, AEW's chief legal officer sent an email to WWE's Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon, warning them not to tamper with his talent. So this goes back to a story that I talked about on the Sunday show, on the podcast, which was certain talent in AEW, one in particular, who came forward and told AEW management that they were contacted by somebody from WWE's talent relations department, inquiring about their contract status and whether or not they were free, whether or not they might be interested in potentially signing with the company. This person was said to be very happy in AEW. They have no interest in leaving or going anywhere, but they did go to AEW management to let them know what had happened. And that's just one example. We don't know. Potentially WWE, maybe they reached out to more people. But obviously when AEW found out about this, they were not happy. So now they're firing a warning shot over to the other side, over to Stephanie and Nick Khan and Triple H saying, back off. So he made that very clear in the meeting. There's a lot going on. A lot of crazy shit going on right now in the world of wrestling, but we're here to break it all down. This is your AEW Dynamite Review for Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Hit that subscribe button if you are not already a subscriber to the channel, over 70,000 strong. Now we're trying to climb to 71. So help us out. Hit that sub button. And super chats are open. Very curious to hear what you guys have to say coming out of that championship match tonight. So send them on in. We'll hang out later. I will read your messages. I will read your super chats and try to answer any questions that you may have. The goal tonight for Be the Booker is 700 likes. I want at least 700 likes. I think we were already over 500 before we even went live. So this should be a no-brainer. But if we're not already there, I haven't checked. You can give me an update in the chat. Let's get to at least 700. I mean, please, we could do 1,000. We should do 1,000. 1,000 likes. All right, let's get into the beginning of Dynamite here. Chris Jericho, on his way to the ring to open up tonight's show. He was coming down to the ring to call out Daniel Garcia, fellow member from the Jericho Appreciation Society, after Garcia pulled him off Bryan Danielson last week when Jericho attacked Danielson at the end of his match with Garcia, and Garcia actually pulled him off. He pulled off Jericho, saved Danielson, so Jericho wanted to confront him. So he called out Garcia, and Garcia came out. He was greeted by chants of, "You're a wrestler." We heard that last week, and so again this week, chanting at him, "You are a wrestler." Jericho said that he understood that Garcia had just finished a grueling match last week when he did what he did. So he just wanted to hear him apologize for what he did. He wanted him to apologize for pulling Jericho off of Danielson. And Garcia said that Jericho knew how special it was for him to share the ring with his hero, Bryan Danielson. I kind of laughed at that because we heard promos from Garcia in the lead up to the rematch, where he was basically telling Danielson he was going to retire him, you know, and after, how's your head? Because they had that first match that Garcia won. All these horrible things he was saying about the man, and yet Danielson was his hero. But anyway, he said Jericho knew how important this was to him. He hung with Danielson for 30 minutes, and it was the type of match that he dreamed about ever since he was a kid. He still is a kid. What is he talking about? Guy looks younger than me. Said he had the match of his life and he wants some random kid, his nephew, different people to feel the same way that he felt. When Bryan stuck his hand out and asked him for respect, he didn't care if people called him a wrestler or a sports entertainer. He said he wanted that moment and Jericho ruined it. He took it away from him. Jericho said that deep down, Garcia knows that he's a sports entertainer and he demanded to hear him say those words. Bryan Danielson's music interrupted and the American Dragon came on down to the ring. He told Garcia that he can be whatever you want to be. He respects the two of them wrestling last week. The fact that they went in there and they wrestled, he respects that. And he agreed with the fans and he called Garcia a wrestler. Jericho said, no, Garcia is a sports entertainer. This was like the old Wabbit season, Duck season routine from Bugs and Daffy. I thought they were going to start going back and forth. Wabbit season, Duck season, Wabbit season, Duck season. Garcia yelled at Jericho. He said that he wasn't going to make a decision. You can't do this to me. You can't force me to make a decision here publicly in front of the world like this tonight. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And he went to go walk off. Jericho tried to stop him from leaving the ring and Garcia shoved him down. Second time in as many weeks that Jericho got shoved on his ass by Daniel Garcia. So Garcia left the ring, and that left Danielson and Jericho in the ring alone together. Danielson made fun of him and said that he didn't like sports entertainers. Jericho fired back by saying that he was the last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon. And he knows more about wrestling than Danielson ever will. Never forget the main event. I believe it was the main event of the very first episode of NXT. When NXT was the rookies and the pros, I believe it was Jericho against Daniel Bryan, I believe was the main event. Danielson asked him, he says, if Stu Hart were here right now, who would he say is the better wrestler? Would it be Lionheart Chris Jericho or would it be the American Dragon Bryan Danielson? I wonder the same thing. What would Stu Hart say? Danielson, that's a horrible, horrible impression. That's my Stu Hart. That's my Stu Hart impression. I can't do any better than that. Actually, someone has a great Stu. I think it might be Bruce Pritchard, actually. There's one person who has a fantastic Stu Hart impression. It's funny, the more I hear Brett in interviews, when I hear Bret Hart speak now, he sounds more and more like Stu. It's kind of scary. But Danielson said, what about Jericho's hero, Owen Hart? When Jericho was a young boy hoping to one day become a wrestler, remember he drew an illustration of him and Owen Hart as the tag team champions? Owen was his hero. He goes, if Owen Hart were here right now, what would Owen Hart think? What would Owen Hart have to say? who would be the better wrestler, Chris Jericho or Bryan Danielson. Danielson suggested that they have a match in Cleveland here tonight. Jericho liked the idea of the two of them having a match, but not tonight. We'll do it all out. September 4th in Chicago, you and me one-on-one. And he told Danielson, you got to watch your back. Jake Hager attacked Danielson from behind and left him laying. Hager was a few seconds late, or somebody was late. Because when Jericho made that comment, that should have been a cue right there for Danielson to turn around. And instead, he had to stand there and wait for Hager to attack him from behind. So it actually made Danielson look like an idiot. So they were about 3 or 4 seconds off, and it didn't look good. But otherwise, I thought overall this was a good segment. I thought that Garcia actually showed some great fire. This is one of the better moments for him on the microphone. Now, he would be outshined later in the show by Ricky Starks. You want to talk about fire and passion coming through on a promo. We're going to talk about that Ricky Starks promo, which was even better than this. But I thought Garcia showed good fire here in this segment. And it's like what I said last week. The match is going to be made for All Out, which now it is. Jericho against Danielson. And it's a fight for the soul of Daniel Garcia. It's like a custody battle. This fucking guy was like torn between these two guys. He was caught in the middle. He didn't know what to do before he walked away. This is a custody battle. Who is going to get custody of baby Daniel? We'll find out it All Out. Jericho and Danielson, which I actually think has the potential to be an excellent match. Say what you want to about Jericho. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the spring in his step that he used to. But we've seen Jericho go out there in certain matches. He did with Eddie Kingston, too. And he can you know, have a great match when he wants to. And a lot of it also depends on who he's in the ring with. Well, he's going to be in the ring with one of the best fucking wrestlers in the entire world. You put those two together one-on-one in a big pay-per-view co-main event. Right now, it is the main event. We don't have a main event. The main event right now is Chris Jericho against Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. I sound like Jim Ross now. Bryan Danielson. That is our de facto main event at the moment at All Out. I think these two are going to go out there. They're going to tear it up. But I will say this, though. When this segment was over, as far as the Daniel Garcia stuff is concerned, when this was over, not a doubt in my mind. He's going to screw over Bryan Danielson. This is all part of a plot by the Jericho Appreciation Society. I may change my mind next week. If they really play up the idea that maybe Danielson doesn't trust him and is Garcia being honest, you know, if they really play it up, make it a little too obvious, I might change my mind. But that's how I feel right now. I think he's being suckered in by this guy. We had Jay Lethal one-on-one against Dax Harwood of FTR, one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, one half of the AAA Tag Team Champions, one half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions, who hopefully will be among the AEW stars rumored to be on the Wrestle Kingdom card coming up on January 4th. I would imagine that FTR would be on there, given that they are the Tag Team Champions. I would love to see them in the Tokyo Dome. Harwood was laying in some fucking knife-edge chops early on, man. They were making this great sound. It echoed throughout the entire building. At one point, they gave him a standing ovation, and we saw a smile on the face of Dax Harwood. He was smiling. He knew he was in the zone. Everybody was cheering. After a break, Harwood landed a series of German suplexes. Lethal recovered. He sent Dax to the floor, hit a suicide dive. Brought him back into the ring, and he applied a figure four leg lock. But Dax got to the ropes. He made a comeback and went for a sharpshooter. Lethal avoided it, and Harwood hit a Liger bomb for a close near fall. Shout out to our boy, Drew Johnson, who just dropped a $50 super chat. I saw that. You thought I was going to wait until later on in the stream. I got to acknowledge you now. When you drop a bomb in my lap like this, I can't just let that go. I have to give you a shout out. I have to give you a salute. You get a sound off salute. Thank you, sir. So Harwood managed to apply a sharpshooter, though, finally, when he went for it again. Sanjay Dutt, though, was out there in Jay Lethal's corner, and he got up on the apron. He and Harwood ended up colliding, and Lethal rolled him up for a near fall. They traded chops. Both men made roll-up attempts. Lethal, though, managed to grab the trunks on the final attempt, and he got the pin. So after the match, Sanjay Dutt gets on the microphone and says, you know, last week, was it last week or the week before? I forget. But he says, you know, we announced a trios match for All Out with Wardlow tagging with FTR. And they just sort of assumed that it would be against Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh. But he says, we never told you who the opponents would be. We never told you who Jay Lethal's partners were going to be in. Sanjay announced that Lethal would be tagging with two of their very close personal friends. And they threw it to a video for the Motor City Machine Guns. Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, arguably the greatest, certainly one of the greatest tag teams in Impact Wrestling history, still going strong to this day. It will be Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns against FTR and Wardlow at All Out. And I will not complain about getting the Motor City Machine Guns in place of Satnam Singh. That is what you call an upgrade, my friends. There is nothing to complain about when you are trading up by going from Satnam Singh to the Motor City Machine Guns. However, if we don't get Wardlow powerbombing that big bastard at some point, then I don't know what the point of any of this is. I don't know what the point of getting Wardlow involved in any of this has been. I just assumed that it was building up to this moment where he would powerbomb the big guy. Now, maybe Satnam Singh will be there. Maybe we will get a powerbomb in Chicago. Wardlow has to powerbomb this guy at some point, just to justify this entire storyline. But the Motor City Machine Guns in the ring with FTR is going to be fucking great. That's going to be fucking great. Dax Harwood, he adds to his Wrestler of the Year credentials here with this match. I thought this was a really good match up until the cheap finish. Probably had the worst finish of any Dax Harwood match so far this year. But the match itself, the body of the match was very good. And he just continues to rack up great match after great match, whether it's Jay Lethal, whether it's CM Punk, whether it's any of the tag matches. I mean, both matches with the Briscoes, the match with the Bucks, on and on and on. The match with Cash in the Owen Hart tournament. This guy's been tearing it up all year long. And he's hurt. After a break, Tony Schiavone was in the back with the AEW Women's World Champion, Thunder Rosa. By the way, for those of you who are just streaming on in, we got a lot of people in here tonight. I had originally set the goal for Be the Booker later on as 700 likes on this video. I have upped that now. I've upped that to 1,000. We are over 800. I want to see 1,000, and we will do Be the Booker later on. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you, Harvey Dent. I know you're going to pull it off. So Tony was in the back with Thunder Rosa, and Thunder Rosa looked very shaken up. She was visibly shaken. She was nearly in tears to make an announcement. She said that she unfortunately has to step down. Those are her words. Step down as the AEW Women's Champion due to injury. No, they did not specify what the injury is. She said there would be an interim champion crowned at All Out. And she wished her good friend Toni Storm good luck and said that she would be back with an even bigger chip on her shoulder. So first of all, that really sucks. Sorry to hear that she's hurt, assuming that that is true and this is not just part of an angle, some weird idea they came up with. So whatever the injury is, hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully, you know, she'll be back soon. But it also sucks that we're getting another interim champion. And here's the thing. I know not everybody is a fan of the interim champion concept. I am also not a huge fan of the concept either. I don't despise it, but I'm not a fan of it. I will say, though, when they announced the match that it was going to be Punk and Moxley, originally at All Out, champion against champion, title for title, unification, it does, I think in certain instances, make the match feel like a bigger deal. For Punk and Moxley, it made the match feel like a bigger deal. No matter what they do going forward now with Moxley and Punk, you can never get back the first match. So the first match now is done. They can never get that back. One of the reasons why I kind of hated what they did. But it did feel like a bigger deal going into it. So that's why, you know, Tony Khan, and he's a big UFC fan. He's talked about how UFC does it. He loves UFC, and so he's a big fan of the interim championship concept. CM Punk wanted to relinquish the title when he got hurt. Tony Khan would not let him do it. Tony Khan said, no, we're going to keep the title on you. We're going to do the interim title thing. And Punk said, okay. He wanted to drop it, and Tony said no. Thunder Rosa comes out here, and she says that she's stepping down as the AEW Women's Champion. Well, stepping down is the same thing as vacating. She didn't use the word vacating, but that's basically what she meant. She was vacating the championship. Only she hasn't. So now we're going to get an interim champion. Well, then what do you mean when you say that you're stepping down as the champion? And this is what I don't like about this. It is. They make it so confusing. Either you step down or you don't step down. You step aside for the time being and somebody else will be the interim champion. So she is not stepping down. Stepping down implies that she is vacating or forfeiting the championship. Based on what they said on television tonight, that does not appear to be the case. So, just to clarify that point, but again, if you're going to step down, there's no fucking need for an interim champion. Just crown a new champion. And when she is healthy and ready to come back, now she begins the chase to go after the championship that she never lost. That's the story that you can tell. If she's stepping down, you don't need an interim champion. It's stupid. The whole idea of it, if that's how they're going to describe it, is stupid and unnecessary. And I wish they would clean up the language and just do a better job of explaining exactly what are they going for here. It's all a matter of semantics, I guess, but it just bugs me. You know what I mean? You're going to step down? Okay, well, just vacate the championship. You don't need an interim champion. We just had an interim champion. Do we need another one now so soon after the first one? Anyway, the match it all out. It's going to be a four-way match. It's going to be Tony Storm, Britt Baker. So Britt Baker, look at that. Britt Baker finds her way onto the card. That's why I made the comment before when I said, assuming the injury is real. It's not that I'm doubting, you know, Thunder Rosa. It's just that we had a promo on TV last week from Britt Baker talking about how, well, I guess we're not on the pay-per-view. And then this week, she ends up on the pay-per-view. So I can't be sure if that wasn't part of the plan from the beginning or not. So now she's on the pay-per-view. It'll be Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Hikaru Shida. It should still be a win for Toni Storm. I said before Thunder Rosa got hurt that I would change the title in Chicago. I would put the championship on Toni Storm. I still feel the same way, but I would not be unhappy if they put the title on Jamie Hayter. I would be fine with Toni Storm or Jamie Hayter walking out of All Out as the AEW Women's Champion. And if Hayter wins, you've got the perfect start of the split between her and Britt Baker. I actually find it shocking, to be honest with you, that after all this time, she is still with Britt Baker. She is still standing behind Britt Baker. I feel like they've been together for so long. I thought for sure by now there would have been some kind of a split between the two. But it's like she's just kind of hidden in the background like Santana and Ortiz were for so long, hidden behind Jericho when they were in the inner circle and not focused on and just not really pushed in any meaningful way. I feel the same way about Jamie Hayter. I think it's long since time for her to break away from Britt Baker. This could be the way to do it. Either she wins the championship and Britt Baker is insanely jealous and upset because she figured that Hayter was in there to make sure that she won and instead she's the champion, right? Easy story to tell. Or Toni Storm can win the championship, but it's because there was a miscommunication between the two of them or Britt Baker expected that Jamie Hayter would be there to help her out and she wasn't. She was only in business for herself. But you've got the perfect way now to begin the rift, the split between these two women. I don't think Jamie Hayter needs to be in the shadow of Britt Baker anymore. They've been together long enough. We had Billy Gunn one-on-one with his son Colton. First ever father and son match one-on-one here on an AEW show. Colton Gunn made his entrance with his brother Austin. Stokely Hathaway was shown at ringside watching on from the crowd. Billy Gunn made his entrance with the Acclaim. They came out to the Acclaim theme music, and Max Caster rapped on his way to the ring. He rapped about how Billy should have used a condom And he said that we'll wipe you out like Biden did student debt. See, the thing I appreciate about Max Caster is he's very timely with his raps. Like, that announcement was just made today. And that very same night, right, he's coming out with the fresh material. I appreciate that. That's not an easy thing to do. But at least he's very timely when he comes to his raps. Late in the match, Billy knocked down Colton, and he started stomping the crap out of him in the corners. Like, he lost his mind. And Aubrey Edwards backed off Billy and said, "Hey, calm down. That's your son over there." And Billy had this, it's like this crisis of conscience where all of a sudden he realized, oh, shit, what am I doing? Like, that's my flesh and blood on the floor. You know, I mean, this is not The Rock. He's like, he thought for a second he was transported back to SummerSlam. He was going one-on-one with The Rock before The Rock shoved his face in that large woman's ass. So he had to compose himself, and he helped his son to his feet. But while he pulled Colton to his feet, Stokely on the outside hit Max Caster with a boombox. Austin Gunn threw Anthony Bowens into the ring steps. Colton inside used the distraction to hit his father with a low blow. He wanted to make sure that his father would not give him any more brothers or sisters. So he gave him a low blow and then hit the Colt 45 for the win. So Billy Gunn did the job for his son. Would have been funny if he's like, "That don't work for me, brother. I'm not willing to put you over." But he did. He put his son over. Supposedly, that's what CM Punk said to Hangman Page, if you believe the rumors. He may or may not have told Hangman Page in the build-up to Double or Nothing, "I'm not willing to put you over." I don't necessarily believe that, but that was part of the story going around last week. Can you imagine Billy Gunn going up to his son in the back and saying, "I'm not putting you over. You're not going over tonight. You're not as over as I am. You're not over enough to go over on me." After the match, Stokely handed both of the Gunn boys business cards. Colton and Austin, they started beating down their father and the Acclaimed. Here come the AEW Tag Team Champions, though. Swerve Strickland, Keith Lee, and the Guns ran off, and the Acclaimed stood up, and Keith Lee helped Billy Gunn to his feet. We go to the back. We have a backstage promo, face-to-face, Death Triangle, United Empire. They're coming up in the Trios Tournament later tonight. Will Ospreay said, "Long time no see," to Pac. Said that he and his crew had one mission, and that was more gold for the United Empire. Pac said that they had been waiting a very long time for this moment, and they're not going to kill them, we're going to murder them. That's what he said. "We're not going to kill you, we're going to murder you." I didn't know that there was a difference between the two. I thought that they meant the same thing. Maybe it's a UK thing. Maybe killing someone and murdering somebody are different in that part of the world. All my European people who are tuned in right now, let me know. Let me know if it's different in that part of the world, because I could have sworn it was the same thing. We had Britt Baker against Kylan King, who got the hometown pop. I guess she lives in a town nearby. Maybe that's why she... Frankly, that's probably why she was on the show tonight. This match didn't really mean much to me, but it was a win for Britt Baker. King pulled her in for a full Nelson slam of sorts for a near fall. Baker fired back with a thrust kick. She landed a stomp. That set up the lockjaw. She applied the lockjaw. She got the submission. After the match, Baker got on the mic, and she said that it was a shame about Thunder Rosa's injury. She reminded the crowd that she wrestled her entire reign when she was champion with a broken wrist, because that's what a champion does, she said. She told Toni Storm that she would finally be on a pay-per-view where somebody gave a damn, because she would be in the ring with Dr. Britt Baker. Storm walked to the ring. She was blindsided, though, by Jamie Hayter from behind. Baker and Hayter took shots at Tony until Hikaru Shida cleared them from the ring with her kendo stick. So we have all of the legal beagles in the chat now are chiming in to remind me, yes, I'm aware. I am aware that murder can be intentional, yes. Yes, I understand that killing somebody may not always be intentional. So I guess that was the distinction that he was trying to make. Yeah, I didn't know everybody had their law degree here in the chat. A lot of lawyers here. Maybe you can help out Tony Khan the next time Triple H tries to tamper with one of his talents. Backstage, Swerve and Keith Lee were with the Acclaimed, and they offered them a tag team title match at All Out. Max Caster said that we don't want it because you're just going to give it to us. We want it because we are the best homegrown team in all of AEW. And because we've won most of our recent matches and because we've earned it, because we deserve it, not because you say that you want to give us a tag team title match. And I kind of laughed. I said, you know, I'm curious. I went to go check the rankings. And I go and I look and I see that the the Acclaimed are, in fact, they do chart in the top five rankings of tag teams in AEW, but they are the number four ranked tag team in AEW. So Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland are giving the number four ranked team a tag team title match at the pay-per-view. This was very, this felt very hastily thrown together. This entire, you know, the save in the previous segment and then this segment here. I think the Acclaimed should get the belts, but not at All Out. Not at All Out. I think that would be very premature to take the belts off Swerve and Keith Lee. Even though I think when they go to Chicago, the Acclaimed are going to be more over than them. That's my prediction. The Acclaimed are going to go in there. They're going to get a massive reaction from the crowd. The people in the building that night, I think, are going to want to see a tag team title change. The Acclaimed are over enough now that the people, I think, are ready to see them as the AEW tag team champions. I just think it's too soon to take the belts off of Keith Lee and Swerve. I don't think they've had a long enough run yet. I think you can still build to that moment with the Acclaimed, maybe a Full Gear. Even Arthur Ashe in New York next month, I think, might be too soon, but there I might be willing to consider it. But I think let it go to Full Gear. Let it go to Full Gear. Let it go to Revolution. Build it up a little bit more. It'll be that much sweeter when those guys win the tag team titles because they have not been in the tag team title hunt. They've been stuck in this whole storyline with Billy Gunn and the Ass Boys and everything else. There's been no mention of the tag team titles. Now you can begin a story where the two of them are going after the championships. And maybe they come close at All Out, right? But it gets taken away from them and they have to really build themselves back up. When they finally get their hands on those belts, it's going to be that much sweeter. I would not be giving that away in less than 2 weeks. I think that would be crazy. So it was 9 o'clock, and I was wondering, why are they giving us our championship unification match at 9 o'clock? Is this not the main event? In fact, it was not. It was not the main event of this show. The biggest match in Dynamite history, and it's not even the main event. And when it was over, it was very clear why they did not end the show with this. Justin Roberts did the ring introductions, and CM Punk got noticeable boos from the crowd. So they had a collar and elbow tie-up. Moxley overpowered Punk, drove him into the corner. Punk fired back with a high kick, and in doing so, he grabbed his foot, his surgically repaired foot. He was wincing, he was grimacing, he was screaming. He was in agonizing pain. Paul Turner motioned for the doctor to come over and check on him. Moxley basically was like, fuck this. Hit a King Kong lariat, took down Punk, laid in hammer and anvil elbows, landed not one but two Death Riders, and he pinned CM Punk in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3, in 3 minutes flat to become the undisputed, the one and only AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Just like that. And I sat here and I said, did that just happen? Sure did. We have a champion just like that. Not much of a match. More of an angle than a match. Where the angle is going, though, that's the question. Moxley grabbed his title, one of them. Left the ring. He went up into the crowd to celebrate. Punk was still being assisted in the ring. He was still being checked out and looked at by officials. They started to help him from the ring. Ace Steel, his good friend, was there to comfort him in his time of need. And as Ace Steel is comforting CM Punk, they got the great shot that I mentioned earlier of Punk turning around and looking back and seeing Jon Moxley celebrating his championship win and looking out into the crowd at everybody who is cheering after what just happened. That one glance told the entire story. We are indeed getting heel CM Punk. I do believe. And if not, then Tony Khan needs to reconsider because I think it absolutely needs to happen. We are getting heel CM Punk. He may not be a heel the next time we see him. They may still be building to it slowly. Maybe it's a slow burn, but we are getting heel CM Punk, I do believe. Now, the question is, where does MJF fit into all this? Because I believe that MJF is going to be back very soon. Could be in Chicago at All Out. It could be next week on TV. Could be later. Could be the big New York show later in September. But I do believe that MJF will be back soon. And I've been saying for months, that when he comes back, the man he needs to beat to become the AEW World Heavyweight Champion eventually should be CM Punk. I still feel that way. I still feel that the man that he needs to beat when he ultimately wins that championship should be CM Punk, which means that CM Punk is going to get that AEW World title back. Now, if Punk is not still hurt, and he's cleared, and it's all just part of an angle, then we'll find out on Dynamite next week. We probably will get a rematch at All Out between CM Punk and Jon Moxley. If CM Punk is not hurt, then I cannot imagine they do not put him in the main event of that pay-per-view in Chicago. You are going to have a very disappointed crowd if he is not in that main event. If he's hurt, then he's hurt. There's nothing anybody can do about it. But if not, and this is some kind of angle that they're working here, he needs to be in that match. So I think the most likely scenario is that we still end up with Punk and Moxley at All Out. We'll find out on Dynamite next week. Maybe Punk shows up. Maybe he throws down the gauntlet and says, look, the way you beat me, you can't be happy with that. Give me one more shot. There you go. You got your rematch for All Out. Punk can win the championship back by nefarious means. He already lost once to Jon Moxley. He cannot lose again. It's like Stone Cold going into WrestleMania 17. I need to beat you, Rock. I need to beat you more than anything you could ever imagine. He was so desperate, he enlisted the help of Vince McMahon to win him a championship at WrestleMania. This heel turn will mean a lot more and will make a lot more sense than that heel turn did for WWE. But you could tell that story. I think Punk gets the belt back at some point, though, so that MJF can ultimately claim his first championship. And we'll see next week. Again, nobody knows for sure exactly where this is going. Nobody knows for sure the health status of CM Punk. I'm waiting on the same answers that a lot of you are. And I was just as shocked as a lot of you were watching the end of this match and disappointed. But I saw it for what it was. It was an angle to set up something bigger at the pay-per-view and beyond. And had they done this finish on the pay-per-view, people would have been a lot more pissed off. And people in that building would have been a lot more pissed off. So if this was always part of the plan here, you could not do this finish at All Out. And if this is what Tony Khan, we have to do it this way, then you do it on TV. But I think it's a shame that they gave this away for the first time. You can never get that first time match back. They gave it away. It wasn't much of a match. And yes, when it was over, it was very disappointing. There's no way around it. You hyped up a major championship match all week long and you ended it in 3 minutes. There's no way around it. That's a massive disappointment. But I have hope that it is leading to something bigger. Backstage, Tony Schiavone was with Christian Cage and he had his arm in a brace after the attack by Jungle Boy last week. Cage said that Jungle Boy will never be as smart as him and that he tried to maim him on top of it. And he told Jungle Boy that at All Out, he's going to find out that he was never in Christian's league. So Christian has accepted his challenge, and it will be Christian Cage against Jungle Boy in Chicago. That also, that's another one, like Jericho and Danielson. That match could steal the show. I think Jungle Boy and Christian Cage is going to be a hell of a match. We have not really had the chance to see Christian in the ring much at all in many months. But I remember last year when we got the matches with Christian and Kenny Omega and how great those matches were. They had that great match on Rampage for the Impact World title. It might have been the best match in Rampage history. The crowd popped huge for the finish. That was back when Rampage was a show that actually felt like important things happened on there. Rampage has fallen quite a bit since then. Rampage is about the most missable show these days, but that was a great moment. Christian may be older, but he can still go. I think he's the perfect opponent for Jungle Boy to get in the ring with it all out. Back in the arena, Ricky Starks. So he is very pissed off. He said that he's been dealing with losing the FTW Championship, the end of Team Taz, Hobbs stabbing him in the back. Starks said that last year when he broke his neck, he checked on him mentally and physically, and he wanted him to make a big comeback. And he said that Hobbs wanted him to do well, but he didn't want him to do too well. He didn't want him to do better than him. And he said that he plucked him from obscurity when he was playing Britt Baker's security guard in Jacksonville. He tried to make the spotlight big enough for the both of them, but he had the nerve to try to take it away from him by going after his neck. And he was very upset by this because he said Hobbs knows how close Ricky came to the end of his career when he broke his neck, how serious of an injury that was. And yet it didn't stop him from targeting the neck. And he was getting very animated and very emotional the more he spoke. He said he considered Hobbs a friend, but now he calls him a low-down slimeball snake. And he goes, "Where I'm from, we cut off the heads of snakes." Is that what they do down there in Louisiana? He told Hobbs to bring his $5 ass to All Out and face him one-on-one. I love the fire from Starks here. It was even better than, you know, the fire we saw from Garcia in the opening segment. This was fire. This was passion. He ripped his shirt off at one point. He got really animated, really, you know, he was ready to throw down with this guy right now. And the crowd was with him all the way. So I figured, you know, once we saw that turn, I said Starks has the potential to be a massive babyface in this company. And we saw a little piece of that tonight. Crowd was behind him all the way. He had that fire. We know he can go in the ring. I think Ricky Starks is money. And he and Hobbs now, it's not official yet, but that's, well, actually it is official. I think they announced it later in the show. But that clearly is going to be taking place at the pay-per-view. We go to the back and we are with Jon Moxley. Brand new undisputed AEW World Champion is in the back, and he goes, "Best in the world, my ass." Says he complained about the people that always write him off and said, "Oh, he's only the interim champion," and blah, blah, blah. He said, "Those people don't matter. They never did. There is only one Jon Moxley. There is no one that can do what he does. He's not just some guy." You see, I have a theory here about why Moxley seems so upset, so pissed off here in this segment. I think Jon Moxley was very upset here in this segment because he didn't get to bleed. I just realized he didn't bleed. When was the last time before tonight that we saw a Jon Moxley match where he didn't bleed? I can't remember. So, of course, he was pissed off. CM Punk deprived him the ability to go out there and bleed all over the place. So he was very upset. He called himself the guy. He's not just the guy in the industry. He is the guy in the industry. He says, people ask, when is it going to be my time? When is it going to be my time to shine? He says, right now, it's his time. It's Moxley's time. He says, it's his goddamn time. And he walked off. He was all fired up, this guy. All fired up. I'm surprised he didn't blade himself in this segment. He should have done. Ric Flair used to do that all the time. He'd be doing a promo. He'd hit himself in the head. It didn't take much. I mean, you know, his forehead is basically made of contact paper. So Flair would just, like, flick himself, and there would be blood all over the place. I'm surprised Moxley didn't beat himself bloody in this segment. Main event was a Trios Tournament opening round match with Death Triangle against Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. And this was a main event. As much as that championship match left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, and was very disappointing, this main event was a nice pick-me-up here at the end of the show, and they gave them a lot of time, too. They went through, I think, three commercial breaks here. Phoenix and Will Ospreay had a, from the moment the bell rang, these guys went right at it, and they had an acrobatic exchange. It would have reminded me of very similar to what we saw many years ago when Ricochet had a similar sequence in a match. It was either with Ospreay or with Pac, but that's what this was. It's like two guys out of a video game. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, you probably didn't like this. But they were basically showing each other up here. They got everybody to give them a standing ovation. Lucha Brothers beat down Ospreay, made frequent tags. After a commercial, Aussie Open saved Ospreay. That allowed them to hit a twisting moonsault. Ospreay hit a twisting moonsault and an assisted dropkick for two. Aussie Open isolated Ray Phoenix on their side of the ring. Phoenix eventually was able to make a comeback and tagged in Penta, who landed a diving crossbody, sling blades, and a crucifix bomb. He wanted the fear factor. Davis fought out. After a commercial, Pac crushed Ospreay with a German. Ospreay tried to fight out of a second one, but Phoenix walked the ropes and kicked Ospreay's hands away, which allowed Pac to hit the German suplex. Ospreay and Pac, they traded forearms until Pac hit a German. Ospreay fired back with an Os cutter for the double down. Pac hit a top rope brainbuster before the final commercial break. Once they came back, Phoenix hit a springboard Rana. Ospreay, though, landed on his feet. And Phoenix hit a rolling cutter. Penta took out Davis with a step-up dive. Phoenix then hit the twisting dive, the tornillo, on the floor on Fletcher. That left Ospreay on the floor in the ring and Pac up on the top rope. And he was setting up for the Black Arrow. He hit the move, but Ospreay got the knees up on the way down and he cradled Pac for a good near fall. Pac then reversed a Stormbreaker into a Hurricane Rana for a close near fall of his own. Place was going nuts for this. Whenever Ospreay was in the ring, especially when he was in there with Pac, the people were eating this shit up. We got a parade of big moves, including a step-up destroyer from Penta on Fletcher. Ospreay caught Pac with a moonsault. Pac, though, adjusted into a DDT and then set up for the Black Arrow. Fletcher pulled Ospreay out of the ring. That led to Pac, and I didn't know what he was trying at this point. And so he's on the top rope. His opponents are standing on the ground, on the floor, behind him. He's trying to position himself on the ring post. Now, this is not like the WWE LED ring posts, which are like a giant thick circle, and you could stand on top of them pretty easily. It's like a little platform almost. This is the regular ring post, and there's not a lot of room to stand on that. He's trying to balance himself, and he barely does, and then he does a moonsault off the ring post and lands on the heels outside. So we look in the crowd and we see Kip Sabian. Now, Pac has been defending his All-Atlantic Championship in different indie promotions. They've been airing some of these matches on Dark or Dark Elevation. And I guess the story is that Kip Sabian has been in the crowd. He's kind of been following Pac wherever he's been going. So we look in the crowd and we see Kip Sabian, or who we think is supposed to be Kip Sabian, with the cardboard box on his head. Pac, I was going to say unmasks. Unboxes him. We had an unboxing on the show tonight. He unboxes him, but it was some random guy that had his mouth duct taped, a decoy. Even if this person was an unwilling decoy, he was a decoy. Very similar to what we had on Raw Monday night with Dexter Lumis. When we had that one decoy, he was like, who is that? And then Dexter showed up on the other side before he abducted The Miz. By the way, no update on The Miz. As far as anybody knows, The Miz is still missing. The Miz could be dead in a ditch somewhere. Nobody really seems to care. So I just thought I would mention that. So it wasn't Kip Sabian, but then it led to Kip Sabian attacking Pac from behind. So Kip Sabian is back. I feel like he's been gone for like a year and a half. So Kip Sabian is back, and he attacks Pac. Back in the ring, Davis hit repeated lariats on Ray Phoenix. Fletcher took out Penta with a dropkick. And while they held up Phoenix, Will Ospreay hit an assisted Os cutter to pick up the win for United Empire. And there it is. As I predicted last week, New Japan was not loaning these guys out for this show just to lose in the opening round. Will Ospreay and Aussie Open were not coming to Dynamite to lose in a first round match. They were at least going to give them a win into the semifinals. And that is exactly what they did. Now it sets up a match next week on TV where it's going to be Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. We're going to get our first taste in an AEW ring anyway of Ospreay and Omega, who have been talking smack to each other on social media now and in interviews for months, trying to build something up between them. Now we're going to get them in the ring together on Dynamite next week. And then, as I said last week, we're going to get a singles match. That singles match needs to happen in front of a big crowd. We either get the singles match, I think, at Arthur Ashe Stadium next month. You'll have 15,000, between 15 and 20,000 people in that building again this year. Or you do it at the Tokyo Dome in January at Wrestle Kingdom. But I do think that we're going to get Omega versus Ospreay one-on-one either next month or in January. We're going to get a small taste of it next week on TV, and that's going to be fucking great. Omega and the Bucks walked out to a big pop. Ospreay was holding the ropes open. He was taunting him. He was trying to get Kenny to come into the ring. Omega started walking to the ring. Don Callis put his headset down. He was on commentary for the main event. He rushed down the ramp to hold back Omega. He would not let him in the ring. And that is how the show went off the air. So, as I said at the beginning, it was a mixed bag. There was stuff on this show I wasn't a big fan of. Yeah, the Britt Baker thing that they kind of just threw in there. I can't say that I was a huge fan of that. Obviously, the championship match is setting up something else, but just watching it tonight for what it was, very disappointing. But we got a hell of a main event. And I enjoyed the Ricky Starks promo. I thought that was good. And the Dax Harwood match, up until the cheap finish, also was very good. So we had some pretty damn good stuff on the show tonight. But it was definitely a mix of both. Now, Rampage on Friday night. Here's the lineups. We're talking about Rampage and Dynamite here. The lineup for Rampage on Friday is... what is this? I'm seeing updates in the chat. I'll get to that in a second. Trios Championship Tournament. House of Black takes on the Dark Order. Interesting in the graphic, they show John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and a silhouette. TBD. So it looks like Hangman Page may be wrestling with the Dark Order. He might be in the tournament after all, which just lends even more credence to the fact that I think it's going to be Dark Order going to the finals against Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. House of Black, I think, ends up getting booted because of either Miro or Sting or Darby, and that leads to a trios match at the pay-per-view. Sammy Guevara and Ty Mello take on Ortiz and Ruby Soho. Again, very strange that you wouldn't have Eddie Kingston with Ruby Soho. I don't know what's going on with Eddie. Very strange. TNT Championship, Wardlow against Ryan Nemeth. Jade Cargill will speak. And the Ring of Honor World title on the line, Claudio Castagnoli defends against the Natural. Dustin Rhodes. Hey, Steven Waters, just subscribe to the channel. What is going on, Steven? I shall beat... look at this. Look at Chris Jericho beating his chest there. Hey, Steven, welcome to the channel. Dynamite next Wednesday has Bryan Danielson one-on-one with Jake Hager. Tony Storm and Hikaru Shida take on Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And I would assume we'll find out what the fucking main event is going to be for the pay-per-view. It would be nice on the final Dynamite before Chicago to find out what the actual main event is going to be. So that's next week. Here's the all-out lineup as it currently stands. Now, again, they did not mention anything about the Eddie Kingston versus Sammy Guevara match. I don't know if that match is still a go or not. But we have Ricky Starks against Powerhouse Hobbs. We have Swerve and Our Glory defending the tag team championships against the Acclaimed. We've got the Casino ladder match. So we are getting another one of those. We don't know who the participants are going to be. FTR and Wardlow take on Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. Jungle Boy one-on-one with Christian Cage. Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, Hikaru Shida, and Tony Storm. Fatal 4-Way to crown an interim women's champion. We have got the Trios Championship Tournament Finals. Bryan Danielson one-on-one with Chris Jericho. And whatever the main event is going to be, Jon Moxley is going to defend his title against somebody. Is it going to be CM Punk? We don't know. But that's a full lineup right there.
Moo.
And again, doesn't even Moo. Include the Kingston match.
Moo.
Moo indeed. It is our boy JM who has moved me almost Moo. To tears. I'm so emotional right now. I see that $100 super chat. Oh, JM. JM, you are one of our biggest supporters here on the channel, and I thank you for it. So I'm seeing a message here from Epsilon Sama, and I will look into this, claiming that Voices of Wrestling podcast says that Sammy and Eddie have legit heat and even got into a shoot fist fight and they got suspended, which would actually explain why we haven't seen either one of them on TV in the last few weeks, if that's true. But that's coming from one source. I'm just taking a look at something here. I want to check something real quick, because this whole thing has been very strange, just the way it was announced, and then nothing, you know, again, there was nothing that came out of it. It was so bizarre. So I'm not seeing anything about it yet, but if that's what Voices of Wrestling is saying, I mean, I trust that there's some truth to it, but I don't know. I mean, they said Sammy is wrestling on Rampage, but they didn't say anything about Eddie. Maybe Eddie is suspended. Maybe Eddie lost his pay-per-view match. Eddie Kingston does not seem like the kind of person that you would want to make him upset. He probably would not hesitate to just smack you. You could smack him back. You know, it's not like he's some 6'5", jacked up 300-pound guy, but I don't get the sense Eddie Kingston is gonna care if you want to throw down with him. So if you annoy him in some way, if you do something to really just bother him, if you're just a pain in the ass, he probably would get in a fist fight with you. I'm not really surprised by that. The spirit of Professor John Gotti lives inside of JM. I think the good professor got whacked. We haven't heard from him in months. I hope he's doing okay. I hope he's at least still tuned into the streams. I'm a little worried. Well, I said earlier I was anxiously awaiting the results of this Twitter poll. So let's take a look and see. Oh, my. In the immortal words of Michael Cole, oh, my. I was not expecting this. This is the worst AEW Dynamite poll that we have ever done. I have never seen Dynamite get under 50%. And with over 2,200 votes in, which is a lot of votes, 46.7% thumbs up, which is still the dominant result here. But Dynamite, sub 50%. I cannot remember a time when I saw this before. 46 up, 21% thumbs in the middle, and 31% thumbs down. That's a record right there. A lot of people, are going to be very upset about the results of that championship match. That was the match they were looking forward to all week. You give them that kind of finish, and all it takes is one bad finish, and that could just ruin the entire show for people. I wonder how many people tuned out after that Punk match. Hey, X-Raven, thank you for the sub. I wonder how many people gave up on the show and didn't even see that awesome main event. Which is a shame, because it was a hell of a match. It would be a shame if people tuned out and they didn't see that main event tonight, but now we wait until tomorrow, we see where the ratings are. If this show couldn't pull a million views, but think about this though, right? You hyped that match all week long. Let me come back here for a second. You hyped that match all week long, expecting, I'm sure, that, okay, we're going to get a big audience for the show tonight. And you do the match, and to do that kind of outcome, I wonder how many people who may have tuned in for the show tonight are going to look at that and go, fuck this, I'm not watching this show again. Yeah, that's a risk. You know, you do risk alienating certain viewers by doing that. The numbers are going to be interesting not only tomorrow, but next week. And that's the go-home show to All Out. That's a week where you would hope you do a strong audience. I don't want to just see the number tomorrow, which I expect to be up. I want to see the number next week. I want to see how many people, if any, they lose based on what they did on that show tonight. That to me is going to be the more interesting number to watch. Albie says 840,000 tomorrow. That would be any other week. That would be a slightly disappointing, but not an awful number. But if that's the number tomorrow, that's fucking terrible. If they do 840,000 viewers for this show tonight, that is a fucking disaster, is what that is. So for their sake, I hope it's more than that. Throw out in the chat some predictions. I'm going to throw out a prediction right now. I'm going to say that this show does just over a million viewers. I'm going to say like 1 million I'd say between 1 and 1.1. Somewhere between 1 and 1.1. Maybe like 1,050,000 or something. That's my prediction. I think they'll cross the million, but barely. We'll have a little contest. We'll see who's right and who gets the closest number to whatever it ends up being. I'm seeing a lot of 1.1 in the chat. Maybe. We'll see. All right, let's get into your super chats. And as far as the likes goal, which originally was 700, and then I said we could do 1,000, right? We could at least do 1,000. We're up over 1,100. So you guys fucking rocked it tonight. Now let's just try to run up the score now. Let's see how many we can get. Let's see if we can get 1,200. But we will do Be the Booker later. All the ratings predictions are coming in so quick, I can't even follow them all. Austin says 5 million. I'm going to say that you're wrong about that. James Cooper with the 499. Glad to see Tony Khan wants Moxley as champion after wrestling the hand in pants guy. How does anyone like Moxley? Some people have such low expectations. Lakers Pats, Punk got Kofi, and Ospreay should have won the G1. Punk, that's doing a disservice to Kofi Kingston. Punk did not get Kofi. Kofi got Kofi. Punk did not lose in 8 seconds. Kofi Kingston got screwed. He got screwed in his match. We got the Coug 97, just started my new career, be back soon, Hermanos. Well, congrats. I don't know what that career is. The clowns are back. Well, Steven, send it in the clowns. He wants the whole circus in tonight. He wants the whole circus on this show. Be calm, see clearly. Something told me that Moxley was going to save AEW. Just kidding. And I'm stressed from work, and you bring the energy. Well, I try, man. I try. I got to bring some energy here to this stream. You know, I got to get everybody all amped up. We got to talk about what happened tonight. It's a big night, right? One of the biggest dynamites of the year. Left a lot of people with a very sour taste. Got to break it all down and try to figure out what the fuck Tony Khan is thinking. What is he doing? Where is he going with this? What's the direction? What's the end game? Shinakuma, thank you for the 5. MattView72, what a show. I feel like I ran a marathon. Crazy story with Mox and Punk. Awesome promo from Ricky and that main event. Excited to hear your thoughts. Hey, Misfit, thank you for the subscribe. We are slowly climbing to 71. It's a slow crawl, but the only way we get to 71K is when you hit that sub button. So if you're tuned in and you like what you hear, you like what you see, if you like hanging out in the chat with everybody else, you got to sub to be in the chat. You got to be a subscriber for at least a week or else you can't join this chat. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Hit that sub button. Bernard Frederick, Moxley was pissed off after the match, probably because he did not leave the ring looking like a freaking crime scene. I think I agree with you. I'm telling you, he wanted blood. He was very upset. Matthew, the 3 count went down and I did not stop laughing for 5 minutes. Guess MJF and Punk won't involve the title. Nope. I wouldn't assume that. I still think Punk is going to get that belt back. I still think Punk will end up getting that belt back in time for MJF to take the title from him. Bliss fan in the chat thinks the Fiend will return on Dynamite. I think Bliss fan has given up on the Fiend coming back on Raw, and now he's waiting for the Fiend to come back on Dynamite. Although he wouldn't legally be able to be the Fiend. Mr. Tahizi. Mr. Tahizi, just subscribe to the channel. I love it. I love it. Zach Jones feels like 2019 to 2021 was AEW's version of WCW's 1996. to 1998. Now Tony Khan's company is doing their best impression of WCW circa 1999 to 2001. Tonight stunk. 99, I feel like the people who make those comments didn't actually live through 2001 WCW. If you had actually lived through 2000 and 2001 WCW, you would not be making that comment. Andy Vromny, sick and tired of interim titles. It's okay, con men vacate can hold more than one belt. Vacant can hold all the belts. Vacant is always waiting on standby. Vacant will hold your men's titles. Vacant will hold your women's titles because he's a perv. It doesn't matter. Whatever championship it is, he's always waiting in the wings. James Borbath, do we know the length of Punk's contract with AEW? No, we do not. But I would have to assume it's probably a 3-year deal. That's just my guess. But I don't believe that was ever stated exactly what the length of the contract is. Ace of Masta, CM Punk sucks. Ryback is a legend. Thank you, Ryback. We have Ryback now dropping super chats on the stream, I can see. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, I'm 100% sure that tonight Be the Booker will be better than that title match. I think you're right. I think you're right. Anti-M-Bishop 07 with the $20 super chat. I think I saw Anti-M-Bishop. Hey, Black Assassin, thank you for the sub. I think I saw Anti-M-Bishop. I was watching some Purso. I was watching some Japanese pro wrestling earlier today on YouTube, and I think I was going down the Noah rabbit hole, and I could be wrong, but I believe I saw Anti-M Bishop pop up in the comments section under a Noah Pro Wrestling video. Unless it was some other Anti-M Bishop 07. Says, hey, Solo Monster, tonight was a good show. You left me with an unsettling feeling about All Out. We shall wait and see. Like, comment, subscribe, and order the Hog Show this Sunday. Breathe with the Solo Monster. That's right. Don't breathe with the Switchblade. You breathe with the Solo Monster. You know, part of the reason I'm all amped up is for this House of Glory show on Sunday. This House of Glory show is going to be even better than the show we got tonight. And we're going to have Eddie Kingston. I don't know what's going on with Eddie Kingston and AEW, but Eddie Kingston is going to be in the main event of the Hog Show against Naomichi Marufuji on Sunday. And that is going to kick ass. You can watch it all live on Fight TV. Andy. Fans, we want MJF. Khan, no. You're getting Kip Sabian. Fans, who? Thank you, Andy. The Yatagaratsu $5 super chat. Have you seen the new AEW Fight Forever clip featuring Adam Cole and Kenny Omega? The game is definitely giving off No Mercy vibes. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that on the podcast, actually, on Sunday. I did watch it. I've got the whole list of features and everything that they talked about. And the game, actually, they had one of the developers of the game was sitting there with Evil Uno and Colt Cabana while they were, you know, narrating over it. And specifically said they were going for the vibe of the old N64 games. So if it reminds you of that, it was done that way on purpose. And one of the funny things about it is they mentioned that To do kickouts and to break free from submissions, you got to do button mashing in the game. And I just thought, that's my kind of game. And if you've watched me on Sound Off Gamer, you know I'm a button masher. You can hear it. So this game might be right up my alley. Somebody mentioned in the chat there was a Kevin Nash clip from his podcast with Sean Oliver. And shout out to them. I've enjoyed the clips that I've seen. But I saw the clip, and you should all look it up if you haven't, because I never heard this story before. Nash is a great storyteller. But the story about him and Scott Hall and Bam Bam Bigelow, who wanted to ask them, can I ride with you guys this one time? And they were like, yeah, sure. and they were out in California somewhere before the show, and they stopped off at like a 7-Eleven type of place. And there were, I guess, a bunch of gangbangers that were in the store. And I guess Bam Bam mouthed off, and he said something that he shouldn't have while they were waiting in line. He used a word in reference to them, a slur that he should not have used. And Nash in that moment thought that they were all dead. Like, he heard him make the comment, and he said, this is how it ends. But, and I don't want to tell the whole story, but it does end up with Bam Bam getting a gun to the head. But the way Nash tells the story, it's like my mouth was like wide open while he was telling the story. And it became very clear to me after that why Bam Bam had issues with the click. If the timeline is accurate on that, now I can understand why Bam Bam had issues with the click. Because he almost got two of the members fucking dead. Because he had to open his mouth. That was a crazy story. That was a crazy story. And I'll tell you what, for what Bam Bam allegedly said to them, he's lucky he didn't get shot dead right there in the store. I was like, wow, when I heard that story. And the way Nash tells it is hilarious. Anyway, we have James Cooper. Quiz? What is this? Oh, he's talking about Quiz in the chat. I don't know what's going on. But you gotta be... Well, whatever's going on, you gotta behave. Quiz is not gonna ban you or block you unless he has good reason to. I have no idea what happened, but... I'm going to assume that something was said that should not have been said. So, maybe we can fix that, but... I need people to behave in the chat, so we can have a very healthy... engaging chat room on these streams. But thank you, James. I appreciate that. Zach Jones, adrenaline in my soul. Tony's booking is getting old. Adrenaline. I missed that song. King Bling Blah, Mox against Hangman or Omega. Both had no rematch. Well, it's not going to be Omega. Hey, Drew Dobbins, thank you for the sub. It's not going to be Omega. Hangman, you know, Hangman's possible, but I still say Hangman takes one of the spots with the Dark Order in the tournament, and they go all the way to the finals. But see, here's the thing, though. Do you have Moxley defend against Hangman? Let's go with that for a second. Do you do Moxley and Hangman and have Hangman win so that when CM Punk comes back, you reignite this issue with him and Punk, and there's more interest going into their rematch. But then most likely you just end up having Punk beat him a second time, which makes him look like even more of a bitch. So that idea probably is not in the best interest of Hangman Page. Or do you just do Mox and Hangman and have Mox win? To me, that's a letdown. That's disappointing. If that's your all-out main event, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Joseph Brooks with the $4.99. Hey, Solomonster, just wanted to ask you if you did a review of the A&E Rivals episode on Rock and Austin, because I don't remember if you did. I did not. I did not watch it. I missed it. I did watch the Triple H and Mankind or Mick Foley one, though, and I tacked my thoughts onto the end of my review of the DX biography, so you can check that out. Griffin with the $5 Super Chat. If that title match is an angle, it's a poor angle. If the blow-off is at all out, you should not make me decide to keep my wallet closed. What a mess. So Griffin was not happy with the way they handled that match tonight. A lot of people are not very happy with what they did in that match tonight, especially judging from that Twitter poll. Rodimus Prime with the $15 Super Chat. Rodimus, thank you very much. Tony Khan played himself tonight. I thought that said played with himself. I don't know what Tony was doing at the gorilla position. I don't know that I want to know what Tony was doing at the gorilla position. Was he playing with himself? That's not for me. That's not for me to know. Tony Khan played himself tonight with this world title match. AEW is looking mighty bad right now. Don't see them getting a million viewers tomorrow. Baffling. No, I think they have a good shot at getting a million. The question is, given what they did, how many more or less of those people will tune in the next week? That has to be the concern. I could see that chasing a lot of people away. Joseph Brooks, what is WWE's best War Games match that they ever did? I don't know. They've done some really good ones in NXT. I remember the first one that they did, I think, being really good. But they kind of blend together, to be honest with you. It's one of the men's. The women's ones, there have been a couple of not so good women's ones. I don't know, they kind of blend together. I can tell you, though, the best one I ever saw from the WCW-NWA era was the Sting Squadron one from 92. That is a fucking great War Games match. Best one I ever saw. I think that was Wrestle War 92, I believe. Darth Panic, if we get over 700 likes, can we get an extra Be the Booker? No, you're just going to get one. Nice try, though. Bret Hart with the $10 super chat. It was super underwhelming to me. I even dragged a friend with me to watch AEW, and my friend does not have much interest in the product. We were expecting a slobber knocker in that championship match, but we ended up disappointed. King Bling Blah. How about the winner of the casino ladder match wins a title match that night, give the win to Hangman or whoever wins that versus Moxley in the main event? That is interesting, because typically the winner of the casino ladder match does get a championship shot. That, you know, it's weird though, because do you go into the pay-per-view without having an advertised title match in the main event? They could do something where Jon Moxley says, I'm going to be it all out. I'm going to defend my championship at All Out. I don't care who it's against. I'm going to be in Chicago. Somebody better step up. And that way you get people interested, like, oh, what's going to happen? Who's going to show up? Is somebody going to debut? Is MJF going to come back? That could be MJF's way in. I mean, think about it. If MJF just showed up on TV, what sense would it make for Tony Khan to sanction a championship match for this guy given what he did? But if Jon Moxley says, hey, I'm throwing out an open challenge, anybody who wants to step up and has the balls, come at me and come at me for my belt, show up in Chicago. Well, if MJF shows up, maybe that's how he gets a title match. So the more I think about this, you know, if they don't have an opponent, if Punk really is hurt, he's not going to be in Chicago, I'm not so sure that wouldn't be the better way to go. Keep people guessing. Guarantee them that there will be a championship match, but you've got to tune into the pay-per-view to find out who it's going to be against. It's a risk. People like knowing in advance what you're giving them. But these are weird circumstances to begin with. They never should have given this match away the way they did anyway. Now that they have, it is what it is, right? It's already been done. So if they don't have a better opponent, and if they're not just going to put Punk in there and announce the rematch next week, maybe you do that. Moxley says, fuck this. I'm going to be there. I'm putting this title on the line. I don't care against who. Doesn't matter. You could do the ladder match. Winner of the ladder match goes on to get a title match at the end of the night. You could be onto something. I think you may be onto something there. Rage Phoenix 96. Ever have someone in your day-to-day life admit to being an avid listener of your podcast? I'm a longtime listener from the TV Tracks thing. I've had a few friends of mine, actually, who I know for a fact do not listen typically to wrestling podcasts, who have said that they listen to the podcast and they find them funny because it makes them laugh. So I have heard that from a few people in my life that I know. James 1992, I like that name. Said, we should do 1,000 likes. Come on, guys. That was an hour ago. We're already over, we're closing in on 1,200. We're almost at 1,200. Miguel in the chat says, Rosa and Baker have heat, and Rosa being sent away to cool off, according to Voices of Wrestling. See, now I don't know. Are you just trying to be funny, or is this actually coming from Voices of Wrestling? What would that have to do with the title match at All Out, though? The title match was not Rosa against Britt Baker. The title match was Rosa against Toni Storm. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Spicy dry chicken without flavor. It was about time Tony Khan called for a mandatory talent meeting earlier today. Extinguish the fire out before it spreads. Drew Johnson, Solomonster, you're my hero. Thank you for what you do, bro. Drew, thank you for the $50, man. It means more to me than you know. That you would drop that much on me, and I know you've done that before, but it really is very cool, so thank you. By the way, when I wrap this up here in a second, I will go and check, and we'll see if we get a live update here on this. Here on the air, breaking news. I want to find out what's going on with Eddie Kingston and see what else is being reported, because there's a lot of news going on, and it's hard sometimes to separate fact from fiction. A lot of it depends on where you're getting your news from. There are certain sources I trust more than others, so we'll check that out in a second. Griga, I might want to start watching Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad. Which should I start watching first? Breaking Bad. Start with Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad comes first, then you go into Better Call Saul. You can thank me later. Food Hive, the show was awesome. Wow, we found a real fan of the show tonight. Groovy Goose. Different circumstances, but Moxley and Punk ending gave me Hardy and Sting Victory Road 2011 vibes. Overall, just disappointing. Guess we'll see how this all goes. Yeah, you know, it's a rare miss from Tony Khan, because Tony usually, if nothing else, he usually has a pretty good read on his audience, and he gives his audience what they want to see. If he advertises a big match, then you can bank that you're at least going to get that big match. Even if it doesn't make a lick of sense why he would give it away the way he did. You expect that, okay, we're really going to get this match. And then they go out and do what they did. That's very unlike Tony Khan. This is the first Tony Khan miss as far as not delivering on what he advertised. That usually does not happen on these shows. So it was a rare miss when it comes to not delivering on something like that. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, vacant wins another title. I feel bad for Rosa. Evidently, vacant didn't win anything because she said she's stepping down, but yet we have an interim champion. So I don't know what the fuck is going on. Matthew, call me a Kool-Aid drinker, but them leaving Hangman diss in YouTube recap and decision not to put the belt or not to put the title match on last equals Punk heel turn or TK sloppy manager. Orwizzle24 with the $9.99. Hello, Solomonster. Orwizzle here. You are the man. Will AEW last long as a wrestling company? Also, who is the better submission specialist, Kurt Angle or Chris Benoit? Kurt Angle would be my pick. And yes, AEW, whatever issues they may be experiencing, AEW is not going anywhere. AEW will be around for a long time to come. Spicy dried chicken, I'm calling it a Holy Sheeta heel turn at All Out. Andre Israel, hater should start doing the JBL clothesline from hell instead of the regular clothesline finish that she does. It would fit her better, in my opinion. Now the World 138. What's more annoying, Punk in Chicago having to win, or Brett in Canada who cannot lose? Either one of those things annoys me. Doesn't bother me. Stephen Chappa. Again, happy birthday, brother. Tomorrow he is turning 30 years old. I hope it is a great birthday. Now the world says, and I meant, yeah, I know what you meant. JM with the $20. Hearing you say Punk allegedly went into business for himself on a live promo against Hangman and allegedly told Hangman he would not lose to him backstage, it sounds like the elements of Brett and Shawn real life beef. Is it an homage? I put nothing past these people. This is, I mean, we have seen Punk and FTR literally lift move for move certain sequences from Bret Hart matches. Would they be emulating, or would he in this case be emulating Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels from 1997? Of course it's possible. But nobody knows for sure what's going on here. It seems like there are elements of truth mixed in with other elements that are clearly part of an overall work. And I guess that's the beauty of wrestling when you can't really separate the two. Where things get dicey is you have people apparently who are behind the scenes who work for the company who are not clued into any of this, who are forming their own opinions and who are not very happy about certain things that are going on. That's why Tony Khan needs to take the bull by the horns and make sure that this shit is kept in check. Because the last thing you need to do is to have a locker room now that doesn't trust anything they hear because they think everything is a work. That's not going to make for a healthy backstage environment. Bob the Builder, Voices of Wrestling alluded to Sammy and Eddie getting into a fist fight with Eddie being suspended on their instant reaction show. So I am hearing more and more about this. It looks like the Eddie Kingston thing is accurate. Rizzo, this whole Punk saga plus MJF possibly coming back is getting me to buy All Out. EJ Slamp, I drove through Sturgis yesterday and I thought of the WCW Road Wild shows. I know a lot of talent hated it, but I thought it was a cool venue. What about you? I thought it sucked. I thought those shows were fucking terrible. I thought it was a terrible atmosphere for a wrestling show. You had people in that crowd, besides all the honking of the horns, which is fucking annoying, they were throwing rocks at the wrestlers. I mean, you know, fuck that. Fuck that. I wouldn't perform. Eric Bischoff was a fucking motorcycle mark and he wanted to have shows at Sturgis. That's why he did them and I thought they were stupid. We have Terrence with the $4.99. Love the CM Punk and Moxley match. Heel Punk is on the way, but who watches Punk's back in a stable? I don't think he is in a stable. Don Juan, since I defeated Fire Pen... Well, actually, to go back to your question, though, I would say FTR, but I think it would be crazy to turn FTR right now. So maybe long-term in the future, FTR would turn and they would be with Punk. Don Juan, since I defeated Fire Panda a couple of weeks ago on the last word super chat thing, does that mean that she is going to stick to her word and retire? No. No, I convinced Fire Panda not to. That would be a terrible move. We love Firepen. Kevin Velasquez, I get it if this was some sort of punishment for last week, but if not, and he is fully cleared, why not have a 25 to 30 minute decent match at All Out and just leave Punk or have Punk cheat and turn him heel? Well, that is the $1 million question now, isn't it? First timer, KO and Hangman are AEW's Brett and Shawn, not Punk. What moment, this is from I tapped. What moment in wrestling legit made you cry? Monday Night Raw for about 5 years. I've mentioned WrestleMania 7. The Savage Elizabeth angle after the Savage retirement match with the Ultimate Warrior. That was a very emotional angle. I am man enough to admit. Tito lies. Chicago will chant for CM Punk on the pay-per-view event. I'm sure they will. Spicy Dry Chicken, watching the main event of AEW tonight was great. The match was like eating a cooked medium rare steak with rice, grilled chicken, and sausage on a plate. But what else would you eat that on? Of course you're going to eat that on a plate. You're not going to eat that out of your hand. JM with the $100 super chat bomb from 36 minutes ago. You already know I am for a Jamie Britt split and a Jamie title win. At least there is a story coming out of the pay-per-view after that. I fear Tony would just be left in the same boat as Thunder Rosa after a title win with thrown together feuds and matches in the interim. That's why I'm still pulling for Tony Storm to win the championship. But I'm just saying, if Jamie Hayter won, I wouldn't hate that either. But she doesn't have to win to tell the story of the split with Britt Baker, which is long overdue. I would still put the title on Tony Storm. Epsilon Sama, did Tony Khan had his first WCW 2K moment, bro? JM with the $10. Eddie and Sammy have beef. Kids these days don't know even what beef is. Beef is when you make your enemies start your Jeep. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep. Stephen Chappa, did I mention it's also payday, not just my birthday, so here is some more. Oh, Stephen, look at this. Spreading the love. Stephen, I love you. Bliss fan, Chad Gaspard is actually, he got the Warrior Award, so he was already honored in the Hall of Fame. Just got the Warrior Award, I think, last year. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Not gonna lie, I was about to tune out after that. I think a lot of people probably did. I think they were like, fuck this. I'm not even watching the rest of this show. Tripod with the $10 super chat. I'm unable to watch Dynamite, but from your description, title match gave off Attitude Era main event title match vibes. Is that accurate? No. That's not accurate at all. The Attitude Era title matches were, they were hot matches. The crowd was into it. They would go 10, 15 minutes in the main event, usually end with a stunner. This was the opposite of that. This was not that at all. I don't know how you got that out of what I said, but no, that's not what this was. Brian Becerra, $3, because that was the length of Punk versus Moxley. Thank you for the $3 super chat. I appreciate that. Rizzo with the 10 spot. My prediction, 990,000 for Dynamite. Just shy of a million. Also, I think it's time for these wrestling arenas to be named in dangerous places in America lists. And at the top of that list should be the NXT parking lot. Never forget. That is the most dangerous place in the entire continental United States. Italia Vidal. Omega ruined the chance of a Gaijin winning the G1. Yeah, I mean, I could see why they wouldn't. They'd be a little uneasy about it, but I think there'll be another Gaijin that wins at some point. I don't think they'll be shut out forever. Although, if ever there was going to be a year, Ospreay, you know, this could have been his year, but he could win next year. Ospreay against Jay White, heel against heel. I didn't really expect them to do that at Wrestle Kingdom. Still went to the finals. It's got to count for something. Gabriella in the chat says, tonight Solid Monster Sounds Off is more exciting and intriguing than Dynamite was, not going to lie. I'll take the compliment. I will take the compliment. We've got Cam, AEW's finger poke of doom. If the angle isn't there. Oscar V, well, thank you, Cam. Oscar V, Hulk Hogan never lost like that his first year in WCW. Trash. Thomas, I agree with you about MJF. I hope it is true. Mr. Notorious Chico, when Dynamite announced that CM Punk against Mox last week, you should have known this wasn't going to be a classic. Why are people mad? It is storytelling. Magician Sapphire, I think you're right. The CM Punk Moxley feud is leading to a Punk heel turn and MJF's return, but the way that they went about it with this match gives off Vince Russo-like booking. Never go full Russo. Never go full Russo. I saw Russo crying on Twitter the other day about how he was crying about something on Raw, or something Triple H did or whatever, because they won't give him a job. So he's very upset. I love it. I just love it. Von Tell. Chances of Sheamus and Walter being match of the weekend. Match of the weekend. I think it could be match of the fucking year. Holy shit. I'm looking forward to that match. Clash at the Castle, baby. I'm excited. Sheamus and Walter. Intercontinental Championship. Next Saturday. I'm going to have to keep reminding myself it's a 1 o'clock Eastern start. It's like the Saudi Arabia show. It's like right in the middle of the day. So we'll be live on YouTube at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon that day, but that's going to be a fun show. I'm actually really looking forward to Clash at the Castle. I'm looking forward to seeing what the stadium looks like. I hope they have it like in the shape of a castle. They have like a whole castle set. Should be good. I hope one of the things Triple H starts to do more of is bring back more of the unique sets. That's another thing I'd like to see Triple H start to do. Spicy dried chicken. Ospreay against Moxley at All Out for the World Championship. Hey. That'd be great. Ospreay's not going to win. There's no drama there, but I'd take that match. Hulkling 93. Gotta always show love to the first women's war games in NXT. Dakota's heel turn. Oh, you know, the Dakota Kai heel turn was fucking great. And the way Mauro Ranallo sold that and Nigel McGuinness on commentary was perfect. Perfect. I remember Shayna Baszler, I think, was in the other cage waiting her turn to be, you know, to come into the match. She's watching this like, oh. But that Dakota Kai heel turn on Tegan Nox was great. I smoke a lot of weed. It's our boy, I smoke a lot of weed. You ever smoke a joint solo? Here's the virtual J. He sent me a virtual joint. Look at this. I'm getting a contact high. Just from his super chat. Yes, I have. One time, many years ago. Didn't like it. Not my thing. Rizzo with the $20. I'm very curious about AEW's contracts because if they are independent contractors, I would be interested to see WWE and AEW talents going to court to fight that. Look, I mean, they're still signed to legally binding contracts, so tampering is tampering. Independent contractor or not, if they've signed these contracts, I would imagine that there could be legal repercussions. Fire Panda, since we crushed the light goal, then Friday we can aim for 800. I will not stop asking, Mr. Monster. Give me what I want. We'll see. Solid Monster likes his lungs clean. I like my lungs clean. What's that commercial I keep seeing on WWE television with AJ Styles refusing to sign that fan's belt because of the... He goes to hand him a vaping pen. It's like, oh, you got toxic metals. It's metal in your lungs. Can't get that commercial out of my head now. Don Juan, I got 2 Dixon Cider. Drew Johnson already reporting Punk is done. Who? Who is reporting that Punk is done? You've got to be more specific. Mark Kwan, 1976, with the $5 super chat. Loomis was arrested in the NXT parking lot last night, despite the previous kidnappings going unsolved. And just humor me. This is Darth Panic now. Just humor me. Is there a chance Vince could return? All the legal stuff gets settled and a year goes by and folks start to forget about what he did. No, he's done. Vince McMahon is done. Triple H is going to dig his claws in deeper and deeper. Vince McMahon is not going to come back and undo all of it. I don't care if he is the biggest shareholder. I don't give a shit. Vince McMahon is done. He turned 77 years old today. Happy birthday, Vince McMahon. Go enjoy retirement. You can go walk on the beach. You can take a cruise around the world. Right? You can go visit Lake Titicaca. You can go do whatever you want to do. Stay the hell away from WWE. I don't even know why you would put that why you would even put that thought in the atmosphere. I don't even want that thought lingering in the air. Oh, my goodness. JM with the $5 Super Chat. Thank you for reading the Notorious B.I.G. Super Chat I sent. Put a smile on my face. You are the man after Becky. I didn't realize it until after I already said it, that it was the lyrics to his song. Yeah, Vince McMahon could get together with Bob Kraft. They can go hang out in massage parlors together. Best at losing. Just subscribe. That's CM Punk. Did CM Punk just sub to the channel? All right. We have gotten through all of your super chats. Now we have to check out. I feel like there's been some news I have to check out here in real time. So why don't we go ahead and check? Let's see if there's any news. Let's see what we can find. Getting all these rumors in the chat. You don't know what's real and what's not. So let's see if we can find out. So there is definitely something to these rumors about Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara. So there may have been a fist fight. I'm not sure, but I know Sean Ross Sapp over at Fightful is going to have more, probably behind his paywall. So I won't be able to see it here before I end the stream, but there's definitely some smoke to that fire. As far as, you know, CM Punk being done and this person being suspended and that person being suspended, I'm not seeing anything from anyone reliable just yet. But obviously, I will keep monitoring this. We'll see what pops up. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about on the podcast on Sunday. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
You asked for it. And so I am nothing if not a man of the people. I got to give the people what they want. Winter's Paw just dropped a $2 super chat. Think it had to do with what Sammy did to the title. Well, I'll wait for the report from Fightful to see exactly what the hell happened with Sammy and Eddie. We got to do some Be the Booker here. We are going to kick things off here with the men. I think we had a pretty good night. Didn't we go 3-for-3? I think we went 3-for-3 the other night. On Monday night, I think we went 3-for-3. Here we go. We begin with Kane, the original Kane. The original Kane who debuted at Bad Blood. Air guys, just subscribe to the channel. You got a lot of new subs tonight. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. Gives me a little tingle every time we get a new sub here on the channel. All right, let's see who Kane's going to be stepping into the ring with. This is the real beast. This is when Kane was built like a brick shithouse back in the day. This guy was a monster. Kane one-on-one with Ryback. Damn it. I had high hopes for tonight. Damn it. Damn it, Ryback. Ryback's always ruining everything. What the fuck, Ryback? Man. All right, let's try the ladies. We begin with Lita. Spicy. Look at Lita from back in the day. One third of Team Extreme. WWE Hall of Famer Lita. But this is Lita from the Attitude Era that we have here in this image. Let's see who Lita's going to be stepping into the ring with. It will be Lita going one-on-one with AJ Lee. Now that would be a match. AJ Lee. Now, wasn't it AJ Lee when she was a kid? There's video of her crying when she went up to Lita at an autograph signing or something, I think, to get her autograph and meet her for the first time. You got a built-in storyline right there. I mean, that match, it just sells itself. So at least we're one for one so far. Let's see if we can end on a high note here with the tag teams. Let's see what we can do on the tag team front. We begin with father and son. Look at this. Sting and his baby boy, Darby Allin. Looks like Sting is taking his son out for trick-or-treating. That's adorable. Sting and Darby. Gonna be taking on Booker T and Goldust. Somebody just asked me the other day. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Somebody just asked me on the stream the other night, I think on Monday, a super chat came in asking me if I was a fan of the old Booker T and Goldust pairing on TV, and I said, of course I was. So they were very entertaining together. Oh, because I was putting over the Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn thing. That's what it was. So maybe it was on Friday. But I very much enjoyed Booker T and Goldust, and I think Booker T and Goldust against Sting and Darby would be a great match. So we did pretty good, guys. That's a thumbs up edition of Be the Booker. Two for three. If most of the Mets players went 2 for 3 in their games, I'd be pretty happy with that. So 2 for 3 is not bad at all. Don Juan with a $1.99 super chat. I'm in love with Fire Panda. She can have her crown. See? Very nice. Being the bigger man. Kev Carroll. Apparently Eddie and Sammy got into a backstage fight, and that is why the match has not been promoted. Well, I'll tell you what. Suspended or not, Eddie Kingston is going to be at House of Glory on Sunday. He'll be in there against Marufuji. And there won't be any suspending Eddie Kingston from the Hog Show. I can tell you that right now. That's going to be a hell of a match. So whether or not he's at All Out, he'll be at high intensity this Sunday at Terminal 5 in New York City, as I will be. So if you're going to be at the show and you see me, say hello. Don't be a stranger. I want to see all of you. Or you can watch the show on Fight TV. You can order the show right now. The ordering page is already up. $19.99. You're going to get your money's worth, I promise you, with this show. Bob the Builder, thank you for the super chat, Bob the Builder. Are you going to Arthur Ashe? Yes, I am. I don't think I've announced that until now, but yes, I will be. I was convinced. It took some convincing, but I will be at Arthur Ashe Stadium. That'll be my first AEW show in 3 years, over 3 years. The one and only AEW show I ever went to was the first one, Double or Nothing in Vegas, and I had a blast. That was back in 2019. John Moxley made his debut that night. So anyway, I'll be at Arthur Ashe, as we get closer, I'll let you guys know. Obviously, I won't be live on YouTube that night, but we'll do a Dynamite review the next night. We'll do it on Thursday instead of Wednesday. So that'll be a busy week. I don't think I'm doing anything beforehand, so don't start asking about meetups or anything. One of the reasons I'm doing this is because I'm finally going to get to see some friends who I haven't seen in 2.5 years because of all this pandemic nonsense. So, I think we're doing dinner beforehand and going right to the stadium, but should be a good time. Didn't I go to the Jericho Cruise episode of Dynamite? That was not an episode of Dynamite. They were going to tape Dynamite on the Jericho Cruise the following year. And I would have absolutely been on the Jericho Cruise because I had a great time on the first one. Saw good mic work. Shout out to Greg and his channel. Met him for the first time in person on the Jericho Cruise as well. And I loved it. I had a great time. And then COVID just ruined everything. So, and I'm not going on cruises anymore. So the AEW matches that we had on the ship were not taped for TV. So I don't technically count that. I mean, I guess, yes, you would be technically that was... You know, they were AEW matches, but that was not used on Dynamite, I don't believe. So, but that was fun. Chris Amaya, where do you rank Hall and Oates? Kiss on my list. It's good. It's not one of my favorite songs of theirs. Out of Touch is my all-time favorite song ever. But as far as Hall & Oates, I would go Out of Touch, Say It Isn't So, Adult Education, Private Eyes, Man Eater. I mean, Kiss on My Rich Girl. Kiss on My List is lower down on the list. And Sarah Smile, I was never really... Everybody talks about Sarah Smile. I was never really a fan of Sarah Smile. I never really saw what the big deal was with that song. Thunder Knight. Is it just me, or does Eddie Kingston seem to have it in for ex-WWE wrestlers in AEW? Well, Sammy Guevara never wrestled for WWE, so apparently he just has it in for everybody. I don't think we can say that any longer. I just think he doesn't like people. He just doesn't like people in general. You Make My Dreams Come True is another good one. It's funny, I heard a former colleague of mine once told me a story, and I don't have any reason to doubt that he'd lie to me about this. He knew I was a big Hall & Oates fan. And he had a friend who was doing some, he's like a landscaper. And he happened to be doing landscaping work for Daryl Hall. And he said that he was outside, like in his, I guess Daryl Hall was outside in his backyard, just like in the summer lounging out or whatever. And he was listening to his own music. Like he was listening to Hall & Oates songs. And he just thought it was funny. And I just thought to myself, hey, if I had music that was that great, I'd listen to it too. How do you know I'm not sitting around all day listening to episodes of my podcast? But I just thought, when he told me that story, I just thought that's exactly the kind of thing I would expect Daryl Hall to be doing. Lounging around at home, listening to his own music. Spanish Goddess, it's going to be some tough months for me. We found out today that my girlfriend has cancer. Oh, my God. But I know I'm going to be there for her all the way. Well, that is terrible. I'm very sorry to hear that. That's awful news to get. I know what getting that news is like, and the way I would describe it, it's like a sucker punch to the gut. Like you just got punched in the gut, all the oxygen just goes out of you, and just your whole life is turned upside down. But you get through it. So I know you will, I know she will. So send my best to her, and we're all thinking about you. That's awful. Did I ever watch Promo Joe videos? I don't know what Promo Joe is, no. I don't believe so. Who's Promo Joe? I've seen the music video for Cotton Eye Joe. I used to watch the WWE segments with Just Joe. I'm sitting here wondering where Samoa Joe is. We haven't seen him on AEW television in months. But Promo Joe, I am not familiar with Promo Joe. Mocha Joe. Family Man, yes. Oh, Brett's, thank you. Brett's Booze in the chat. Family Man, that's... I can't believe I forgot to mention that. Family Man is probably... I'd probably put Family Man at like number 3. Like, it's up there on one of my favorite Hall & Oates songs. I love the music video, too. There's just something about the animations in that music video. It's so 80s. It's just so retro that I love it. Thunder Knight, what do you think has been AEW's best storyline so far? I probably would go with the Punk and MJF stuff. I mean, that was some of the most riveting, engaging television, the promo work between them, drawing on their real emotions, and MJF being a Punk fan when he was a kid, and what he went through being bullied as a kid. There was some great stuff in those promos. So that probably would be the one that I would go with. Actually, you want to see some cool stuff. If you are a fan of Hall & Oates, or even if you're not, you should check it out anyway. I don't know if he's still doing new episodes or not, but there was something called, was it like Daryl's House? And it was Daryl Hall in the, it's either the basement of his house or it's, I don't know, maybe it was like a restaurant that he owned or something, but it's basically him and he brings in other artists and they do cover versions of Hall & Oates songs, like acoustic versions. And there are some really, really good ones in there. So, definitely something you could probably find on YouTube. I don't know if they're doing new episodes anymore, but definitely something that you guys should check out for sure. All right, where are we at? It's almost 1 a.m. We are usually done by now, but you guys came out in full force. We still have well over 1,600 people in here. I think we had over 2,600 at one point, which is, for a Dynamite stream, that tells you right there how much interest there was coming into tonight because of that championship match. I just hope that Tony Khan didn't chase everybody away. We can go from 2,600 tonight back down to 1,200 next week. 1,200's a nice number, don't get me wrong, but I'll take the 26. Hopefully he didn't chase everybody away with the outcome of that match. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, I believe Bruce when he said he never wrote one NXT episode in his life, just like I still believe the Astros won the World Series fair and square. Oh, I could believe that Bruce never wrote an episode of NXT. I believe that. Because I don't see Bruce Pritchard sitting in a room writing a television show. He's not a writer. Bruce Pritchard isn't a writer. They hire the writers to do the writing for them. Do I believe that the NXT shows had to go through Bruce to make sure that it was fully approved? Yes, that I do believe. But do I believe that Bruce Pritchard sat there all weekend, even if it was with the help of other people, writing out NXT every week? No. Especially not when he's responsible for, you know, Raw and SmackDown and stuff. But do I think that he was overseeing what was going on in NXT and approving or disapproving of certain things? Yes, that I can believe 100%. Darth V. Liquid. I mean, Liquid, that's kind of the point. Does Bruce even care? Does he even give a shit about NXT? To the extent that he needs to be aware of what's going on there, yes. But does he care about NXT beyond that? Do I believe that he or Vince McMahon gave two shits about NXT? No, I don't. Absolutely not. So I can absolutely believe that he's not sitting there writing episodes of NXT because I don't think he gives a shit. Darth Panic. Promo Joe is like Botchamania, but better, in my opinion. I will not have any of that Matthew slander. Matthew's a friend of mine. Don't go slandering Botchamania. Turtlehead 2. What happened to Turtlehead 1? I think Turtlehead 2 killed Turtlehead 1. Or murdered him. Punk did say that he wanted good stories, so I feel this story being told might have everyone in on it. Can't speak on Eddie and Sammy if true. Bruce doesn't even care about his channel, let alone NXT. Didn't he just post the first new episode of his podcast in months? I think it was pretty much a dead show up until this week. Shows you how much he cares about that. Conrad's all right, though. Conrad's got, you know, 15 other podcasts. He'll be okay. Tripod with the 5. If the Giants and the Dodgers stayed in New York and the Mets never existed, what team would you support? I probably would have supported whatever my father was watching. That's how I got into the Mets. Took me to my first Mets game when I was very young, and I became a Mets fan. If he took me to a Yankee game, I'd probably be sitting here wearing pinstripes right now. Thank God I'm not. They got lucky this week. It is funny, though. We could end up with an NLCS this year, though. Dodgers and Mets. So the Mets against the team that tucked their tail and left New York, left Brooklyn. There's still a lot of older fans in Brooklyn who are very bitter about the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn in 1957, I can tell you. I know a few of them. They haven't gotten over it yet. Do I like ice cream? I used to when I could have it. Now I have the fake ice cream. There's a brand called So Delicious. It's got non-dairy ice cream. It tastes just like real ice cream. I discovered it a few months ago, and it's great. It's like I'm able to eat ice cream again. But I had to stop having ice cream probably when I was back in high school. I just had to stop. It was, all of a sudden, it was making me sick. How cruel. What a cruel, horrible thing to be able to eat ice cream and pizza and all that stuff, and then one day just, it gets taken away from you. It's terrible. Why did the Dodgers leave New York? Not enough time to get into the story. I would suggest you hit the Wikipedia. We'll give you the Cliff Notes version of what happened. It's a whole drawn-out story. I don't like sherbet. No, I didn't like it. When I could have ice cream, I wasn't a sherbet fan. I was always a chocolate chip guy. I was a chocolate chip guy. Oh, good morning. Crazy Gacy is in the UK. It's 6 a.m. where he is. Eddie Kingston suspension confirmed by Dave Meltzer. So, yeah, there's definitely something to this Eddie Kingston story. But we will gather up all the news. I can already tell. It's going to be a very interesting podcast on Sunday, episode 771. It could be a little shorter than usual. I'm going to try to record most of it on Saturday, which usually when I do that, there'll be breaking news on Sunday morning. So I'm sure I'll get fucked in some way. But I have the House of Glory show on Sunday, so I'm going to try to get as much of it done before then as possible so I can get the show out early on Sunday morning and get ready for the big show. I'm very excited. I'm sure mention it again on the Friday night stream, but it is going to be a big show. And I would say that if you've never tuned into a hog show before and you were wondering, is it worth it? Should I check one out? This is the one on Sunday that you want to check out. Not only do we have Eddie Kingston against Naomichi Marufuji for the first time, we've got Jacob Fatu and Brody King. The House of Black is coming to Terminal 5 on Sunday. All three members, Buddy Matthews, Brody King, Malachi Black. Brody King is challenging Jacob Fatu to crown a new House of Glory world champion. Malachi Black one-on-one with the Amazing Red. Joey Janela is going to be stopping by. He's getting a crown jewel championship match. The Briscoes have an open challenge for their House of Glory tag team championship. Low Key one-on-one with Bandido. Bandido was awesome on the Ric Flair final match pay-per-view in that Lucha match. And when Killer Cross became unavailable all of a sudden, Bandido stepped in. So he'll go one-on-one with Low Key. A lot of really cool shit coming up on Sunday. I'm getting ready. I'm getting prepped. I'll be on the call with JD. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully you guys will tune in. One last look at the shocking Twitter poll results here. The worst Dynamite poll since I started posting polls on Twitter for it. 46% thumbs up, 21% thumbs down, 32% thumbs in the middle. Cannot remember a Dynamite that got under 50%. So, Little Nose in the chat says, do I rent my hog suits? Nope. Bought every single one of them. Bought every single one of them. Tell you, the Super Chat money, man. I have to reinvest it back in the show and back into what I do with Hog. It goes right back into the Solid Monster brand. That's why I very much appreciate all of your support here on these streams. So I'm going to head out of here. It's 1 a.m. East Coast time. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you again for making this one of the biggest Dynamite streams that we have ever done. Hopefully we can continue this momentum into next week. And I will be back here live with you on Friday night. SmackDown. We get to do it all over again. So I will see you guys on Friday.